The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studios. Welcome. Welcome to our top stories this hour. A listener who was watching on the webcam noted that I was wearing a Nike shirt today, which is a total coincidence because they did not know I was going to be talking about Nike in The Big Lead. But Nike sent everyone on my team these shirts after we won the state championship.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it's very nice. Very nice of them. So I'm going to slam them now after they did something nice for me. Because, as you've no doubt heard, the NFL, which is having all kinds of viewership and ratings problems, the NFL is still struggling to get back to the heights that they had a few years ago. And one of the reasons why the NFL is down, poll after poll shows, is that the fans don't want social justice causes mixed in with their football on the weekends. The fans just want to watch football. They don't want to have to talk about the stuff that, you know, they're inundated with Monday through Friday. They want football to be a bit of a relax, relief, respite for them. So that's what makes this NFL deal with Colin Kaepernick so surprising in The Big Lead.
The Big Lead. I sense a Dory rant coming on.
So Nike is a big partner with the NFL. And Colin Kaepernick has a new deal with Nike. They announced it on Twitter today. They are going to be calling Colin Kaepernick the All-American icon. They also have posted a Nike ad featuring Colin Kaepernick's face and the words, "Believe in something, even if it means sacrificing everything. Hashtag just do it." So Kaepernick already had a deal with Nike that was about to expire. He hasn't played in a couple of years now. Some people believe it's because he's been blacklisted by the NFL for refusing to stand for the national anthem. And no doubt, the NFL would love to get away from that controversy. I do not believe Colin Kaepernick has been blacklisted. As I've told you many times, I know the Seahawks brought him in for a workout. I also know that Kaepernick said, yeah, if I'm the backup quarterback, I'm still going to sit for the anthem. And for most teams, not just the Seahawks, because the Seahawks, they are known for the free spirit atmosphere. They will tolerate a lot from Marshawn Lynch and Richard Simmons and Michael Bennett. But from their backup quarterback, I don't think they wanted to have 30 television cameras and 50 reporters surrounding their backup quarterback every single day. And so just from a pure business decision, nothing to do with collusion, nothing to do with blacklisting, the Seahawks didn't want Colin Kaepernick, and neither do the other 31 teams. For the same reason, it brings more baggage than benefit. Now, what I find so annoying by this Nike campaign, believe in something even if it means sacrificing everything. And maybe you can correct me if I'm wrong, but has any great social cause began as a corporate marketing campaign? It usually works the other way around. Somebody with the cause that they trust and believe in, then some business comes along and says, you know, that's something we could get behind. But this is 180 degrees different. And frankly, 180 degrees the wrong way. To turn Colin Kaepernick into some kind of 2018 folk hero as the centerpiece of a new Nike campaign. And look, there are a lot of people who buy Colin Kaepernick jerseys. You know, people who agree with his cause. there are a lot of, I'll just be honest with you, there are a lot of white kids who buy Kaepernick jerseys so they can show their friends at school just how woke they are. Some believe in the cause as well. But there's a lot of posing that goes on with the Kaepernick jerseys among the little white kids who buy them. That's just a fact. But correct me if I'm wrong. I'm going to open up the Online Trading Academy text line. But I cannot think of a great social justice cause that began as a corporate marketing campaign. I'll check your text and see if you've come up with something else. But by its very nature, if this is Nike marketing test-driven, test-audience-driven, that's not a great social justice cause. They can pretend that it is, but that's all they would be doing is pretending. Next up in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead. Your tax dollars at work.
We're getting numbers on some of the most expensive radar light cams, the red light cams that we have around the state. And as you know, I have been a passionate opponent of these red light cams from the very beginning for a bunch of reasons. Number one, they were supposed to be for public safety. But, and they told us, they go, oh, it'll eliminate those T-bone accidents in the middle of the intersection where people die. Turns out more than 90 of the red light camera tickets are the free right-hand turn, what we used to call a California stop. Somebody would slow down, look to the left, nobody's coming, and kind of coast on their right-hand turn at 2 miles an hour. That makes up about 90-plus percent of the red light camera tickets. So that's one of the big problems. The other big problem is they sold this to the public by saying that we are going to make the tickets not that expensive. We're going to just make them the same as a parking ticket. And then, being the greedy blood suckers that politicians tend to be, they said, okay, we'll just make it the same as a parking ticket. What is the most expensive parking ticket that we have? And they found one for blocking an alley from an emergency vehicle. That's the most expensive ticket. It's $136. And they said, oh, well, let's just make that the red light camera ticket, because we told them it won't be more than a parking ticket. So now they've got this one down in Des Moines. Do you know how much the government grosses? Of course, a lot of this money gets sent to the out-of-state companies that operate these cameras, scams. But they're making about $5 million a year. That's about half of that is what government gets, and the other half goes to Red Flex and American Traffic Solutions and the other scammers that our government officials climb into bed with. Linwood has these cameras everywhere, and I will still offer my challenge to that lying city congressman or city councilman up in Linwood. I can't remember his name, but he called into my show all furious. He said that the cameras were about traffic and safety, and I called him a liar on the air. And he called the show furious that I was calling him a liar. I said, tell you what, let's find a polygraph expert. Let's bring you in the studio. $10,000 to the charity of the winner's choice. If you're right, if you can pass a polygraph that it's really about public safety, I'll give $10,000 to any charity you choose. If the polygraph says you're lying and it's all about revenues, you have to give me $10,000. I don't have $10,000. I go, well, make it $1,000 then. Come on in. Prove to me that this is about public safety and not about generating revenues. And that coward never took me up on it. And I don't know if he's still on the city council there in Linwood. But these red light camera tickets, we're just getting new data this afternoon about the massive amount of money that they transfer from the public to the private, or vice versa, with no benefit, with no safety benefit whatsoever. And it adds up to an awful lot of dough, most of which gets shipped out to Arizona and Texas to those private companies, and a lot of which stays with local government with liars running the show. Next up in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead. I told you so.
Yeah, I told you from the first time I ever had him on the show, and then I confirmed it with people who were sitting in at Seattle Department of Transportation meetings. I told you that Scott Kubley might be the most incompetent public official in the history of our region. And that's tough to do, because we've had a lot of incompetence. But Scott Kubley, he's the one who built the taxpayers out of millions of dollars with Pronto Bike Share. Then he got a big six-figure job with Pronto Bike Share. Yay for him. When he got fired from SDOT because of his incompetence, he left behind this streetcar project. Him and his little accused child rapist buddy, Ed Murray, thought, well, this would be a way to rip the public off of more than $250 million. And that's exactly what they've done. Brand new construction costs. Last we were told, they'd skyrocketed to $150 million. New numbers, $252 million. So Scott Kubley, either through his incompetence or through criminal collusion with the companies that are benefiting from all of this, has managed to rip off the taxpayers, again, along with his accused child rapist buddy, Ed Murray, and the Seattle City Council. This is also on Dime Bagshaw and Rob Johnson and Mike O'Brien. But all, and either you believe that they are all so stupid that they put together a project that's $1 billion costing us now, or they colluded criminally to steal this money from the taxpayers, and they will get theirs when they're out of public office. But I will forever take glee that I had the guts, as soon as I had the concrete information, both in talking to him myself and from what I heard from people who had to sit through meetings. I was the first one to tell you how absolutely incompetent a person Scott Kubley was and is. And now you and I are on the hook for $250 million for an absolute wasted Seattle streetcar project. Hey, way to go, accused child rapist mayor. Good hire there. And finally, in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead. Big local.
4 years ago, I talked with a woman whose family owns a business in Magnolia. And they were seeing the effects of having the heroin RVs right outside of their business. She sent me videos of people rolling up, buying heroin, shooting up, and then driving off. And now she's back in the news. Daniela Ng, she has a baby on the way. She's 8 months pregnant. She and her husband have 3 kids, and it's just gone from bad to worse outside their Magnolia business. Tell me what happened when you tried to go to work the other day. Your office is just off Commodore Way in Magnolia.
Yeah, I was in the car after picking up my son from camp, and it was just middle afternoon, 12:40, and we were going back to my work. And there were 2 gentlemen outside of my office just in the middle of the day stealing our water. They've already broken the handle off the spigot. We've locked all of our outdoor spigots. They've broken the handle. We're using a wrench, and one of them has a knife in his pocket that's completely visible. And I was just yelling at them to get off of my property, and they wouldn't leave. So I was on the phone with 911 while these two individuals are outside my work. And I'm 8 months pregnant, and I was just too scared to get my son out of the car and walk past these two gentlemen who would not leave my property no matter how much I yelled at them.
And so this poor woman just trying to get into her family's business, and it takes hours for the cops to respond. There's a crime in progress. What kind of response time do you get?
It was a little over 3 hours before someone showed up, two police officers. And once they showed up, they informed us that there was nothing that they could do about it since they were no longer on our property. Even though we have video evidence of them, and we have video of them walking right across the street, and they're still in their tent, they haven't left. And they were like, well, they're not on your property. There's nothing we can do about it anymore.
And this is what they have to deal with every single day. So I asked her, I know that the city council reluctantly listens. Their spouse accidentally left the radio on Cairo the night before, so they accidentally listened to my show. What's your message to them? What's your message to Jenny Durkin and Mike O'Brien and Sally Dime Bagshaw and all the members of that city council that are listening to you and your story right now?
I think it's about time we stop being politically correct and thinking that these homeless sweeps are not a good idea, because these people are not being good citizens to the businesses around us. And we're just going to, the city of Seattle is going to start losing money the more and more these illegal addicts start stealing from us good working citizens who are trying to make a living, who are, need to pay these outrageous property taxes every month. And we need to get a handle on this addiction and the mental illness problem. And without that, I don't know how else we'll fix this.
We're not going to fix it with the people we have in charge now. Because just as I told you about Scott Kubley, I will tell you with equal certainty that they are incompetent in fixing the issue of homelessness. The more we spend, the worse it gets. And that is your big lead this hour.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
So I really said that Richard Simmons played for the Seahawks?
Yeah, you did. Don't worry, I've made a little montage, maybe awesome audio.
I don't think that's going to be necessary. that's a shame. Lots more to come. Awesome audio is next. What a great song this is. I'm guessing I'm going to go summer of 72 with this one.
I think you're about right. Maybe 73.
Because I had, oh man, I had this baseball dice game where you got to manage all the teams, and I had to save up for months and months and months to get, and I had to go do chores around the neighborhood. And then I would sit and I would listen to Top 40 Radio, which was either KJR or KOL. Mm-hmm. KOL, KOL, KOL. And songs like this. That's why I'm thinking 72. Stuff like this and Bread. And I'm thinking, you know, sleep came so easy back then. When did you start having sleep problems?
Probably after, well, and when I started working here.
That was it?
30 years ago.
Oh, man.
But they've really become acute in the last 10 years.
Oh, they're darling. Yeah, I agree with that.
Acute.
Oh, sorry. No, I mean, I know exactly when it happened.
Yeah, when did it start?
It was the fall of 77. Because I had to work full-time. So I was 15. I had to work full-time. So I got classes at Shoreline Community College for 7:30, 8:30, 9:30 a.m. And then I had to drive to Capitol Hill to work at this print shop from noon till about 10 p.m. And then I had to do some studying. And so I'd go home and I would turn on the radio, songs like this. And I'd drink, I didn't drink the Diet Coke back then. I drank Coke. And I'd have a couple of Cokes at like 11 p.m. midnight so I could stay up till about 2 to do some homework. And then I'd get up at 5 to be at my 7:30 class. That's not a healthy schedule.
No. But we used to be able to pull things off like that. I mean, that is college.
I know. But I never changed after that. I never. When I worked morning radio, when I did the morning show with Pat Cashman, when I was his sidekick, I was within 6 months, and that was when Bonneville bought King Radio. So they brought us over, and so I was Pat's sidekick on the bus, and we were within 6 months. My wife and I talked about it. Either I have to weasel my way into another job, or I have to quit because this will kill me. Because even when I had to get up at 4:30 every morning, I still couldn't fall asleep before 1:30.
Yeah.
And we had little kids at home. And that's horrible, as you no doubt recall.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'd come home at noon or 1, and I'd want to take a nap.
Right.
And my wife was on pins and needles because you can't keep a little infant from crying. It was just,
But now, I mean, you're not coaching. I mean, now's the time you can catch up on all those years of sleep deprivation. So this should not be happening
at
this point.
The thing, though, is I believe, and I've always believed, that there is a certain elasticity to time. And somehow I was able to make time elastic to accommodate 30 hours a week for coaching. And now that the coaching is no more, I still have not freed up 30 hours a week. I'm just doing other stuff with it now. That's weird. Do you have any awesome audio that you like here, Nicole?
Actually, I have awesome audio. Let's just do number one.
Just number one? No, this isn't making fun of me, is it?
No.
Okay, thank goodness.
Just a little recap of the show.
Because okay. She teased at one point, she said she was going to try to make up a montage of how tired I was today.
I know. Some of our listeners are sending in concerned texts.
Oh, everything's fine.
Yeah, you're good.
You just
need sleep.
Here's what you missed on today's Dory Monson show.
Mm-hmm. Number one.
They had a concert at the end of the racing by the band Simply Stupid. They will tolerate a lot from Marshawn Lynch and Richard Simmons and Michael Bennett. Tijuana. I don't know where that came from. San Diego. Danny O'Neill's using 7-year-old data. Did I say O'Neill?
Yeah, you did.
Oh, sorry, Danny. Love O'Neill. I like Westmead, too.
Can you pause this category.
What?
You can just pause this for a second.
No, but don't.
Did it really sound like that all day?
Yeah.
Is that what sleep does to a person?
I probably didn't even catch them all. I'm not done yet. I'm only halfway. Even halfway.
Oh, good. I'm really enjoying this. Mathis Exterminating, rather. They are the ones. So I'm in the middle of doing a Mathis Exterminating spot, one of my great sponsors, and I drop in Brennan a couple of times, and everyone's goofing on me for that.
Because you were anticipating something was going to come up in 15 minutes. just running in. Just all running together.
Well, this...
You know what? You'll just be... Tomorrow will be a whole new day.
No, hey, I'm so filled with anxiety. I'm not going to be able to sleep tonight now.
Here we go.
Oh, good. They will thoroughly inspect your crawl space. You know what a lot of companies do? They just stand outside the crawl space. They fire some sort of mist in there. They don't actually get in and do the job and see if there are problems that need rectifying. That's what Brennan does. They take care of everything from the most careful of ways. And as I said, Mathis Exterminating, they've been in business.
Oh, Lord.
We're all on it's an inner clock. Uh-huh. It's got kind of a fancy Greek-type word. Everybody else seems to be worried about me, but I'm fine. Hold on, I'm just texting on to you. I think there is, in the bell curve of Ambien usageness.
Uh-huh. I wasn't quite done. It's not perfect, but I'm gonna work on it. So it's awesome audio of the year.
No, we don't need to.
For sure, of the week.
Mess around with that.
Oh,
okay, I'm gonna get some sleep. I don't know why I couldn't sleep last night.
We have one more segment left, though. Don't go to sleep yet.
Okay, I won't. Today's sign, The End Is Near, is coming up next. Stretch we come. What a day. What a show. What a show. What a day. Let's finish strong with today's edition of
Today's Sign That the End Is Near.
That was kind of a heartbreaker on Saturday for the Washington Huskies. Ranked in the top 10, playing another top 10 team. Versus Auburn down in Georgia. So Auburn had a big home field advantage, and the Huskies came up short in that game, although they played them tough, had the lead into the fourth quarter. Apparently, the guy who did the play-by-play of the game for ESPN, Mark Jones, who's always seemed like kind of a nice enough guy, he is not going to call any Washington Husky games in the future for a bunch of reasons. He went on Twitter after the game and wrote, "Washington Huskies took one on the chin. Where's Montana?" Meaning, why didn't you play a softer team than Auburn in your first game? He was the play-by-play broadcaster for the UW victory over Cal at Husky Stadium last year. Late in that game, he called Husky coach Chris Peterson irascible and somewhat cantankerous. Earlier in that game, the sideline reporter for their broadcast placed three cupcakes on the Husky Stadium turf to represent the Huskies' three non-conference cupcake opponents. So I don't know what this guy's beef is with the Huskies, but the Pac-12 says we're aware, it's ESPN as well, we're aware of the inappropriate comments. We've addressed it with Mark, and he will not call any more UW Husky games this season or for the foreseeable future, I guess. Which just strikes me as incredibly dumb, because Husky Stadium, if nothing else, it's one of the most beautiful places to call a college football game. It's kind of nirvana for all announcers. Nobody likes that better than Husky Stadium, for crying out loud. Today's sign, story number two. We told you about this last week. Remember when Neil Armstrong planted the flag on the moon, and it was indeed the U.S. flag? It's quite a moment.
It's one small step for man, one
and then, of course, MTV cooperated it, or co-opted it. But they didn't have the U.S. flag. They had an MTV flag. Well, in this new Neil Armstrong biography played by Ryan Gosling, they have replaced the U.S. flag because they wanted the movie to be more inclusive. And how you can get a lot more inclusive than the American flag? I mean, we were just decades removed from saving the European theater and the Pacific theaters in World War II from tyranny. So we were pretty unifying back then. But they are not going to show it in the movie. Buzz Aldrin is 88 years old. He was the second man to set foot on the moon. He tweeted a picture yesterday after the landing. He captioned the photo, "Proud to be an American." He also retweeted a photo of him saluting next to the same picture, all of which is a dig at the movie producers, who for some reason thought that it would be too divisive to leave the Americans the flag on the moon. It's a shame. Whole thing's a shame. All right, number three. We told you last week about the Uber driver. A random guy thought that the guy's girlfriend was in the back of the Uber. So he passed the Uber, cut it off, made the guy stop, got out and said, I got a pistol, I'm going to shoot you. Well, thankfully, the Uber driver actually did have a pistol himself. One shot, and he killed the road rage driver. But now that Uber driver, he fears that he may lose his job driving Uber. Robert Westlake was not charged. In fact, the police were rather effusive in their praise of the guy.
This is a classic stand your ground case. Here's a message for the hotheads of the community. Don't do that stuff. Good people carry guns, and they will shoot you a lot. Graveyard dead. Leave people alone. It's a new day in the state of Florida and in the United States.
Yeah, it is. And the man was defending himself, but now he says he's being told that, yes, it was the right thing to do.
Everyone tells you what you did was right, but you feel like, did I have to after the fact?
But he wishes he hadn't been put in the position where he had to use the gun.
I wish the whole chain of events didn't happen.
But he believed he had no choice. He really thought the guy had a pistol. The guy had announced that he had a pistol. He's holding a cell phone in his hand. And this poor guy thought he had no choice.
When I popped up, he took two more steps. And that sealed it in my mind that I got it. I'm not getting shot.
And that's when he kicked what he thought was a gun from the man's hand.
As my foot hit the object, it was like, that's a phone.
And he says, then he tried to save the guy's life.
I thought for a moment that I hit him in a spot where he could survive. I thought for a moment after doing compressions, I had him back.
And this poor guy, Robert Westlake, they interviewed him this weekend on his birthday, and he says after having killed the guy, it's just his saddest birthday ever.
Not about what I did, but guilty that someone else doesn't get to enjoy the things that I get to enjoy. Everything I do right now, I'm constantly being reminded this other person doesn't get to do this. So it's hard to enjoy some things.
And so the reporter explains why he might lose his Uber gig now.
And Westlake recently graduated from the police academy, but he is still looking for work immediately. His account was suspended by Uber. He just texted me a short time ago, and he told me Lyft sent him a message and said he's been suspended from Lyft as well.
How long is this suspension? Do you know?
Well, what we're told is that they're going to go through the account, see if he's cleared on all the charges, but he did violate policy, so he doesn't think he's going to get his job back.
But he saved his own life and maybe the life of his passenger. How can that be anything but a good thing? Police said it was a good shoot. They won't show the American flag on the moon. Guys who shoot in self-defense make things all crazy here on Earth. It's all backwards, I tell ya. It's backwards. Well, I got to get out of here. I have said everything I have to say for today. But I will think up a bunch of new stuff for tomorrow's show. And I hope you can join us back there for that. Because we're going to work really hard on it. Ron and Don coming up next. And I'll see you back here tomorrow. High noon. Hello.
I will not have this in my studio.
You have failed conclusively. It's over.
And there is nothing that you can do here in this room that can turn that around. Nothing you can do that can make up for what you just did.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.